Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everybody, good morning. Pastor Matt here, and welcome to church. Thanks for letting me into your living room or your car, wherever you are enjoying the service today. Just so happy to be with you guys. Hey, last week I preached a sermon on generosity, and at the end of the sermon we had a little bit of a challenge where we as a church family here at Vintage Faith, we were going to rise to the occasion and behave generously in supporting one of the ministries that we really care about here at Vintage Faith called Laundry Love. Laundry Love is a ministry led by Michelle and her awesome team. And about once a month, they go to a nearby laundromat and they pay for the laundry of all the people that come by. And they spend anywhere between $300 and $400 doing laundry for people every month. And it is an awesome way to love our city. They're doing such a great job. Well, we took a special offering last week so we could support that ministry even better. Michelle has dreams and aspirations of actually opening up a second location soon. So we took a special offering, and the idea was that if we could raise $1,000, the church itself was going to match $1,000 for a $2,000 gift towards that ministry. I want you to know that we made the $1,000 mark, and so the church is contributing another $1,000. So Michelle and her team have $2,000 to continue the awesome things they're doing. So good job. Hey, and if you missed out and you're like, gosh, I wanted to be a part of that, it's not too late. You can still go ahead and hop online. Actually, get your phone out right now and you can text one word, VFF give. So text VFF give to the number 94,000. You can still go on, select the fund you want to give to. Laundry Love is on that list. While you're at it, you can actually set up your own reoccurring giving for your monthly tithes and offerings right there too. So go ahead and you can set that up right now. Hey, we are in a series right now called Life with Jesus, and we're talking about how Jesus is with us. God is with us in all of this stuff. He promises not that we're going to sidestep the hard stuff, but he promises to go through the hard stuff with us. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he made this idea that God would be with us very, very central to his sending of all the people to go do the work that he had called us to do. So if you'll read with me in Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read you a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold," go ahead, everyone, read this with me, "I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, the part that sticks out to me the most is this idea that I am with you always. What a great promise. And this was a promise not just to the people that are hearing Jesus' words, but this is a promise for us that we should hold on to, that he is with us always. No matter what kind of stuff you're in the middle of right now, relationship stuff, financial stuff, health stuff, emotional stuff, Jesus is with you. He is with you in all of the stuff. He is with you. So go ahead and just say that out loud. Say, "He is with me." I think we'd all nod in agreement to the fact that God is with us when things are certain and when things are clear. I think we'd all nod and say God is certainly with us when things are certain and very clear and we are confident. We love it when things are clear and certain and confident. But today I want us to see how God is just as with us in our moments of confusion and uncertainty. So just as much as God is with us when things are certain and secure and confident, just as much he is with us when things are uncertain and confusing and complicated. You know, life isn't all clear skies and walks on the beach. You know, I wish it was, but it isn't. Life is also foggy and it's mysterious and it's confusing and it's uncertain. You know, what percentage of your life is certain and concrete and steadfast? And what percentage of your life is complicated and confusing? You know, what percentage? Which percentage of it? I would say if you're like me, maybe half. You know, maybe more of your life is confusing than it is certain. Maybe 99% of your life is confusing and 1% is certain. Or maybe it's the other way around. But regardless, God is with us in both the certain moments of life and he is with us in the uncertain moments of life. Listen to what our therapist friend Brian James has to say about the topic of uncertainty. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Vintage Faith. Moments of uncertainty are ultimately experiences that challenge our internal sense of stability and well-being. And our well-being and internal stability are really shaped by two primary factors, our sense of identity and our sense of safety. Moments of uncertainty are almost always experiences or periods of time where either our sense of identity or our sense of safety are destabilized, where we feel disoriented and even lost. Sometimes we're lost because we don't know where we're going, and sometimes we're lost because we don't know where we are. When we're lost because we don't know where we're going or don't know how to get there, we lose our sense of safety and security. This includes our trust in ourselves, others, and God. This uncertainty typically leads us to either give up or try to take more control of things ourselves. And we probably don't have to imagine too hard to recognize just how poorly taking control of moments in which we're lost tend to play out. When we're lost because we don't know where we are, what we lose is actually our sense of identity. This includes our experiential understanding of our place of belonging, our value, our worthiness. This uncertainty often leads us either to beat ourselves up internally with shame or to turn our frustrations of uncertainty on others and begin to blame and accuse others for being the reason that we're in a state of uncertainty. One of the things that I found as a therapist is that uncertainty is very rarely the true cause of the pain that we're experiencing, specifically the destabilization of our identity or our sense of security and safety. Usually, uncertainty exposes the pain that has been present all along. Because of our life experiences, some of us are more prone towards pain related to our identity, and some of us are more prone towards pain that's related to our sense of security, and some of us are prone towards both. Often, like anxiety that we talked about a couple weeks ago, we end up having a secondary reaction to the initial issue. When we face the unknown and get frustrated, spiral in shame, blame others, or try to take over control of absolutely everything and everyone, or try to protect ourselves from the impending doom that we are projecting that we're going to face, we react to the experience of uncertainty and yet remain unaware of what that uncertainty is exposing. And this is important because the solution isn't to find certainty in the midst of uncertainty, but to find healing for the pain that the uncertainty exposes. So this week, I want to invite you to pay attention to moments of uncertainty, situations where you find yourself a little disoriented or not confident. In these moments, when you reflect on them, in the moment or even afterwards, I want you to ask yourself one of a couple questions, or maybe both. One, did that moment of uncertainty cause me to question who I am, my capability, if I'm good enough, or of my value? And secondly, in that moment, did I call into question the reliability of others, my ability to trust them, myself, or even God? These questions will help you get closer to identifying just why moments of uncertainty are disorienting for you, and you can begin to invite healing into that place. If you want to dive a little deeper into this, check out my podcast, Grounded Moments. I actually have two series on there, Pursuing Wholeness and Navigating Pain, both of which explore these ideas in greater depth. As always, it is a real joy to be part of all that God is doing at Vintage Faith.
Go ahead and nod your head if you've ever felt uncertain about your identity and purpose. Go ahead, nod your head if you've ever felt uncertain about your identity and purpose, you know, who you are and why you exist. Have you ever felt uncertain about that? Well, go ahead and nod your head if you've ever felt uncertain about your safety, your security, and your future. Go ahead, nod your head a little. You know, I can imagine we all need to nod our heads at both those questions because, man, uncertainty about who we are and our security and our purpose and our identity, man, these are feelings that we all have. And I would say that you're not alone if you've ever felt confused or uncertain about these things. You know, there was this guy in the Bible named Joseph, and Joseph lived a life with extreme highs and extreme lows. And I would say there's some parallels between Joseph's life and your life. So we're going to discover those things together. I want us to take some time and just investigate Joseph's life and discover those moments of certainty and those moments of uncertainty. And exactly how can we find God in the middle of both of those very different moments of life. So go ahead and turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. Go ahead, Genesis chapter 37. And Joseph's life actually covers many chapters of the Bible. It's actually 13 chapters. And so we're not going to read all 13 today, but I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview. Joseph's life had moments of certainty and moments of uncertainty. So as we look through this kind of overview of his life, I want us to just pay attention to those seasons of Joseph's life where he thought, I got this. This is going to be great. I'm confident. I'm secure. I'm full of hope. And then let's also pair that with those other moments of life where this isn't what I signed up for. I didn't ask for this. I'm not happy about this. I feel stuck. And let's just hold the tension about what both of those seasons of life looks like. And you may find yourself feeling like you're more in one than the other right now, but trust me, your life will oscillate between those two different seasons of life. So here's a little bit of an overview about Joseph's life. Joseph was one of Jacob's sons. Jacob had lots of sons. He was Jacob's favorite son. Jacob even made him a special coat. Joseph had several dreams that God gave him that showed how he'd rule over his family someday in the future. His brothers hated him because of it. They plotted to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt serving one of Pharaoh's officers. He becomes trusted and he becomes successful. He gets accused of rape and put in jail. He interprets dreams while in jail. He interprets Pharaoh's dream. He is promoted to prime minister, second only to Pharaoh. And in the middle of a famine, he has a chance for revenge on his brothers, but he is ultimately gracious to them and he forgives them and is reunited with his father. Now, I know that was really fast and I just covered 13 chapters of the Bible. But what I think we can see here is Joseph's life was a roller coaster. From God has great promises for me, that my dad loves me, I'm his favorite, to I'm sold into slavery, to now I have a prominent role, to now I'm back in prison, now I'm interpreting dreams, and now I am a second in command, now I have a chance to have revenge against my brothers who started this horrible process, but then I extend grace to them and I'm reunited. I mean, this sounds like a plot of a really good telenovela for sure, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of drama in there. He goes from dad's favorite to a prominent leader, to prison, to second in command, to a potential for revenge. And in the middle of all of it, he is faithful. He is trusting God in the middle of all of it. But I want to talk about three different things that Joseph's life teaches us about how we can navigate our own seasons of uncertainty. Because I think there's a lot in Joseph's life that will instill us with hope for the things that God has for us when we are feeling uncertain. So number one is this. Hold on to God's promises. Hold on to God's promises. Listen to Joseph's dreams. I'm going to read them for you really quick. They're found in Genesis chapter 37. And listen to Joseph's dreams. And what you see as you read Joseph's life, and I would actually say you should do this later this week, maybe study through Joseph's life and you'll see all these things play out. But Joseph had to hold on to the promises that God gave him early on because they didn't come into fruition immediately. They came into fruition over time. And good thing Joseph was faithful even in those disastrous moments because he got to see those promises fulfilled. So here are the dreams. Genesis chapter 37. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bound down to my sheaf." His brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him. They hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" These are two of Joseph's dreams that he has. And they are dreams that I think God gave Joseph. Now, was Joseph really wise in how he communicated his dreams? Let's say probably not, right? Some dreams that God has for us, we should hold on to. while others, I think we should probably share freely. Well, Joseph shares his dreams, and there are dreams of him ruling over his brothers. Remember, they already hated him, right? He was already the special son who, with a special jacket. He already had all the favor from his father, and now he's saying that you are all going to bow down to me. And not only his brothers, but his mom and dad. Joseph had these dreams, and they were really helpful for him, right? Because I imagine that as Joseph's life went through this roller coaster ride of ups and downs, that he had to hold on to these promises that God had given him. If God has given you a dream for your life, I would say hold on to it. If God has given you a picture, a vision, or a dream, or a purpose for your life that you are currently not walking in, I would say hold on to it. Hold it tight. Remind yourself often of what God has said for you, because your situations are sometimes going to seem to contradict what God has for you, but God is bigger than your circumstances. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, and gosh, you need to hold on to the things that God has spoken clearly to you, and it's going to be hard, and the enemy is going to want to try to rob you of those dreams and try to distort those dreams, but you got to hold on to them. Thank God that Joseph held on to the dreams that God had given him, because they proved to be a source of strength and courage when things looked really bleak. You know, I don't know about you, and maybe that's you, and maybe you have a very clear and articulate dream and vision God has for your life. And if that is you, hold on to it firmly. And maybe not. Maybe you're like, that would be great. Wouldn't it be nice, right? And I would say this, for those of you that don't understand or don't have a really clear idea of what God's purpose and his dream is for your life, I would say hold on to his promises. That's it. Simply hold on to God's promises. I was asked not too long ago by a young leader, and they asked me this question, what should I build my life on? And what this leader was saying, what are the things I should really invest my time in? If I want to be a great leader, what kind of things should I really, who should I circle myself around? What kind of skills should I try to develop right now? And they asked me, so what should I build my life on? And it was simple. The answer for me to that question is simple. Build your life on God's promises, because you will be tempted to build your life on skills. Your life, you will be tempted to build your life on accomplishments. You'll be tempted to build your life on a title or a relationship. I tell you what, they have the facade of security. They have a facade. They're like a mirage. They feel real. They feel like you can put all your hope in that thing. But gosh, as you get close to that thing, you realize it's not as secure as you thought it once was. So I would say build your life on God's promises. Building your life on anything else will be unstable. It will prove to be unstable. I say this from experience. Build your life on God's promises, not anything else. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If you want to have vision for your life, if you want to have confidence to move forward, you need his word to enlighten your path. You don't need the latest self-help book. You don't need a good friend. You don't need a Facebook poll to tell you what to do or what not to do. You need God's word to illuminate the path he has in front of you. And if his word, the only way that his word can illuminate your path is if his word is deep inside your heart. So I would say, start trying to do this practice. You know, I started this about a year ago. I bought myself a new Bible, and for one purpose only, I wanted just to highlight and make notes in this Bible anytime I came across one of God's promises. Now, I didn't care if it was a promise for me directly or just a promise he had for anybody else. I just started circling and highlighting all the scriptures in the Bible that talked about the promises that God has for us. And that has proved to be a real source of strength for me. So I have tried to steal the promises God had for other people in the Bible, because I'm like, if you promised it to David, I want that too. And I think that is a discipline. So if you're in a season of uncertainty right now, spend your time focusing on God's promises for your life. You will not regret that kind of investment. Okay, so hold on to God's promises. Number two is this, be active in your seasons of uncertainty. I want to make a note here. I didn't say be active in your season of uncertainty, because the truth is you will have seasons of uncertainty. Seasons of uncertainty will come and go. So be active in your seasons of uncertainty. Joseph shows us how to be uncertain and confused, but not be paralyzed. Okay, let me say that again. Joseph shows us how to be uncertain and confused, but not paralyzed. And I think this is what often happens with us. When we get uncertain, when we get confused, when things seem obscure and hazy around us, we get paralyzed. When we don't know where to go or how to get there or what the next step is, instead of just being active in what we know to be true, we just wait. We just twiddle our thumbs. We hope some good news comes our direction. We hope that something just falls into our lap. And often that's not the case. Often it is in our faithful obedience and moving forward, God gives us greater clarity to where we're going. It isn't in stagnation that God moves us. It's as we start to move, God is able to direct us. So while in prison, Joseph has this revelation, and Joseph shows us what it looks like to be active when things are stalling around us. So this is Joseph in prison. Remember, he's had all the dreams and things have been great. Now things are not great. He's in prison. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. You see, the temptation is to retreat, to disengage, to avoid when things feel uncertain and confusing. When Joseph got thrown in prison, he could have just twiddled his thumbs and tried to avoid and disengage and hide out and just hope it all ended. But he didn't do that. Joseph had a gift and a calling on his life, and he walked in it even when his circumstance seemed pretty horrible. If you're feeling in a rut, if you feel like your life is Groundhog Day, you remember the movie Groundhog Day? If you feel like your day just repeats itself over and over again, if you're feeling static and unproductive, I just want you to think of a few simple things you can do to be faithful to what God has called you to, even in this moment and then in this season of uncertainty. So you may have grandiose vision and grandiose dreams for your life. I hope you do. But right now, your circumstances may dictate that you can't do all those things. Well, I would say there is something you can do. You may not be able to do all the dreams God has put in your heart, but you can do some of them. And there are some things. So maybe God has called you to rescue children out of the sex slave trade. I hope that someone has that calling that's watching this. And maybe your situation says you can't really do that in the way you want to do that. But I would say this, start by loving the kids that are on your street right now. So if God has given you a grand vision for rescuing children out of the sex slave trade, start loving kids in your neighborhood. Be intentional about that. Maybe God has called you to be an advocate for an issue of injustice. And to do that just seems like too big of a task. Well, I would say right now, today, be mindful of one person that is different from you today. That's simply it. Do the little thing you can do, even though you can't do the big thing you want to do. Maybe God has called you to lead a successful business and to try to put all the ends together, the finances and the place and the vision statement and the website, all this stuff. And maybe God has given you this great vision. Well, I say, if you can't walk in it right now, that's okay. Start championing the local businesses around you. So Joseph, while in jail, he uses his gifts and his talents to serve others. Use your gifts and talents to serve others, even when your circumstances seem less than perfect. So number two is this, be active in your waiting. And number three is this, put God first in everything. Joseph had a chance for revenge. So at the end of the story, Joseph had a chance for revenge. Joseph had a chance to punish his brothers for the bad things they did to him. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we read what really happens. When Joseph thinks through the moments of confusion and uncertainty in his life and the moments of clarity and purpose, he recognizes that God was at work the whole time. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph has this great line where he decides that he tells his brothers, it was not you who threw me into prison. It was God's plans being worked out. Now, this is a tremendous perspective. I would have wanted to blame my brothers. I would have wanted to torture my brothers for what the evil they did. But Joseph saw that God was in control, that God had a plan. In every prison moment and in every prominent moment, God was at work. Joseph had this ability to put God first in everything. You know, you can put God first when things make sense, and you can also put God first when things don't seem to make sense. You can put God first when things seem certain and secure, and you can put God first when things seem insecure and hopeless. Romans 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, God has a plan, and he won't abandon you along your journey. God has a plan to be with you through the whole journey, the seasons of uncertainty and the seasons of certainty, and the seasons of fogginess and the seasons of clarity. So when life gets complicated, uncertain, and confusing, hold on to God's promises. Be active in your waiting and put God first. And in all of this, surrender your life to Jesus today. And in light of everything you've just heard, when moments are chaotic and confusing and messy, that's when you need hope that surpasses all your situations and circumstances. Thank God that he sent Jesus to be with us so we could have a relationship with him, so we could put our faith in him. You know, if that's you today and you're listening to this, you're like, this sounds good to have a little bit of peace and comfort when things are uncertain. It is for you. And Jesus is drawn near to you so that you can have a relationship with him, so you don't have to go through anything alone. And if that's you, I would just say, now's the time to give your life to Jesus. And we've made it really easy for you to do that. If you would just be brave enough to go ahead and take a moment and text yes to Jesus, one word, yes to Jesus, to 94,000. If giving your life to Jesus makes sense for you today and it seems reasonable to you today, I would say that is God drawing close to you. So text yes to Jesus to 94,000, and someone from church is going to get in touch with you to give you everything you need to start this journey with Jesus, a journey which will he promises to be with you in the uncertain moments and in the certain moments. Thanks, guys, for paying attention and being a part of our church. I can't wait to hear all the great stories of what God is doing in your life.